This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. The COVID-19 pandemic plunged the world's economy into the biggest recession since the Great Depression. Many Americans continue to struggle as flare-ups threaten the little progress we've been able to make since lockdowns began last April. Wisconsin is currently one of the nation's hotspots of infections, with more new cases of COVID-19 recorded here last week than all of Germany. As many people here are struggling, Wisconsinites are increasingly turning to food share benefits to keep themselves fed. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that participation in food share, sometimes called food stamps, has substantially increased during this pandemic. Mark Sommerhauser is a researcher with the forum, and he joins me to talk about this report. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
It's great to be with you, Joy.
So what does food share participation generally look like in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, so just to give a quick sort of overview, food share is the state program that's run by the Department of Health Services to distribute the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, or SNAP benefits. And these are essentially just the benefits that previously had been called food stamps. They enable, individuals that meet income criteria and other criteria for the program to be able to buy food and other nutritional necessities that they might want to buy. And that is kind of the quick overview of how that program works.
So how many people are generally in the food share program? And I'd specifically like to look at what's changed over the last decade, because there were some major changes in eligibility.
Yes, correct. And we can get to those in a second. I'll answer your first question there first. So as of August of this year, the most recent month for which we have data, the food share program here in the state of Wisconsin counted a little over 720,000 recipients, about 724,000 recipients. And I should say as well, the number of households in the program was about 378,000 at that time. That was an increase over earlier in the year, as we explain in our report. There was a pretty sharp increase that occurred starting in the month of April of this year. And then we saw it sort of went down a little bit after that, but then went back up again in the month of August. And overall, looking at, for instance, comparing August of this year to August of last year, kind of a good way to get a sense of what the increase has been. Enrollment in the program was up about 115,000 recipients from August of 2019 to August of 2020.
So it's a big increase from last year, but as we just alluded to, there were some major changes to the program, which caused numbers to sharply decline over the last decade, while need maybe didn't decline quite as much. So maybe we should dig into this first. What are some of these newer eligibility requirements that impact the use of food share?
Yes. And just to kind of set the stage for this, there had been, kind of looking back over the last decade, there was an increase in the usage of food share, of course, during the Great Recession and the immediate wake of the Great Recession, as one would expect during and immediately after an economic downturn. Then we had a period starting around 2013 where we saw declining food share recipients. And, our conclusion is that was due to two things primarily, the first being the improving economy, but the second, which of course is an important factor, but the second piece being a series of changes in state law from about the period from 2013 to 2017 that did begin to place new limitations on who was eligible for the program. Some of kind of the most significant elements that were enacted during that period of time were various restrictions that were put in place on assets, what sorts of, whether it's real estate or other types of assets that a person could own. There was restrictions placed on that in order for somebody to qualify for food share, as well as for certain people to be eligible, they had to meet work requirements. And there were actually additional restrictions that were passed during this period as well, but that have not yet gone into effect for various reasons. Things like drug testing requirements, reinstating a requirement that people be current on their child support. These were laws that were actually enacted by the legislature but have not gone into effect. But again, the asset limits and the work requirements are two of the big ones that are in place right now. And we do believe that, you know, they have had certainly an impact along with, you know, the improving economic conditions from 2013 up until March of this year that did cause fewer numbers of people to be recipients of food share.
You know, so we have some pretty restrictive requirements for eligibility, but right now it seems like some of those have been put to rest, at least temporarily. What does that look like right now during the pandemic? What does eligibility look like?
That is right. So there was a temporary measure that was put in place that did waive some of these restrictions. So basically, to kind of break it down here, typically pre-pandemic, able-bodied adults between the ages of 18 and 49 who were childless, who did not have children, would only qualify for 3 months of benefits out of every 3 years, period, unless they were working or in a work training program for 20 more hours a week. Now, what I think you're referring to is the federal exemption that was put in place that waived basically all work or work training requirements for able-bodied adults. This was put into place shortly after the onset of the pandemic in April, and that runs through September. Now, a second exemption period has been approved, and it looks like that's going to be taking effect actually this month now and running through September of 2021. So it does look like at least with that exemption period, that's going to carry forward for another year. So that is definitely significant, and we certainly think that could be part of what's contributing to the increase in enrollment, although obviously we think probably the biggest contributor right now is just that there's quite a few more individuals, unfortunately, that have lost their employment as a result of the pandemic. And clearly that's going to have an impact on who is eligible as well.
Well, and that's a question, of course, but it does seem pretty obvious that the reason for people going on to food share is because of the economy, because people are losing their jobs or can't work right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, we've just seen a very sharp increase both in unemployment and as well as individuals who maybe still have retained employment, but, you know, have had their hours reduced or have seen their earnings impacted in another way that perhaps they're still working to some extent now. They're not totally unemployed, but, you know, their hours or their earnings might be curtailed in such a way that, you know, their income is low enough to qualify for food share where perhaps it did not, you know, before the onset of the pandemic. So, you know, we've seen both of those factors, I think, come into play that are causing people to become newly eligible for the income criteria for this program.
Yeah. Now, I think something that is important to clarify is that we're talking about food share benefits. We're not talking about the use of food pantries, which seems like it has also increased during this time. Is that right?
Well, we think so. We don't have hard data on that, but certainly it's fair to say there's been a lot of news reports to that extent, just anecdotally based on those news reports and other experts that we talked to in our research for this report. We're certainly hearing that food pantries in Wisconsin and nationally are really seeing a spike in demand. And, you know, that's kind of the other piece that sort of corroborates this broader trend of more people that are experiencing food scarcity, whether it be that they're looking to address that through trying to enroll in food share or going to a food pantry to try to satisfy that demand.
Now, hopefully we're looking at a year from now that we'll be talking about the end of these exemptions, or we're looking at a year away from now when people might be pushed off of the program. But if, you know, this special dispensation just ends outright, what's the broader impact of the loss of more people on food share? Because we're not just talking about the people who are facing hunger. We're also talking about the businesses that rely on food share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where it's just going to be really crucial to see what our economic recovery looks like over the next year. You know, we saw this initial massive spike in unemployment around April and May. We have been able to recover some of those jobs, but, you know, there's been a significant number that we have not recovered. And of course, the longer that some of those folks are out of work, the more likely it becomes that they would end up in a longer term unemployment situation. And so I don't think we can, you know, certainly I think there's reason to believe that we will be in a better position in a year, but, you know, we just don't know. We're going to have to kind of see how the economic recovery proceeds, because, you know, there certainly is a possibility that there are going to continue to be people that are going to be unemployed, you know, definitely in the coming months, certainly in the next 6 months and possibly beyond that.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you for having me.
Mark Sommerhauser is a researcher for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which analyzed the use of Wisconsin's food share program in its recent report titled Rise in Food Share, Another Indicator of Pandemic's Toll. You can find more of our conversations with the forum at wuwm.com.